I think we're good. Okay. How are you guys doing this morning? Pretty good? All right, that's good. Same here. My story is actually from someone else, but it's pretty exciting, so I think you'll enjoy it. Basically, there was this family, and they had two boys, and they had a lot of lawn to mow. And there's these riding lawn mowers that you get to drive. And yeah, the two boys were like, man, we really want to drive that. But they weren't allowed to until they were teenagers. So once they turned 13, they were allowed to drive it. The one boy, I'll call him Bill, he was 13, so he was now allowed to drive the riding lawnmower. And the other boy, Phil, was still like 9, so he had to drive the push mower, or push the push mower, not drive it. And there was like around 6 acres that they had to mow, which is a lot of grass, and it's a lot of work. So they would race to see how fast they could get it done and make it more enjoyable. And this one day, Bill was riding the riding lawnmower, and he saw Phil come around the corner, and he looked white as a ghost. Like, he was just like, something had obviously happened. And so Bill jumped off of his riding lawnmower and walked up to Phil and asked what had happened. And Phil was like, you just got to come and see. Like, you won't believe it. And so Bill came with Phil to see what happened. And the family had this canoe rack. So there's canoes on it. And there's ropes that tie down the canoes. And one of these ropes had gone out into the grass. It had been untangled. And it was in the grass. And the grass had grown around it. So he couldn't really, like, tell the rope was there, even though he could see it coming down. So rather than investigating it, Phil, who was on the push mower, just kind of drove the push mower directly over the rope. And push mowers, their blades, they suck up the grass to cut it. So it sucked up the rope. And it, the way I was told is that it lifted the lawnmower up like this because the rope got sucked up and it got twisted up. And it was hanging on the canoe rack. So the boy named Phil, he was pretty terrified when it got lifted up. And he was like, oh man, I don't want this thing to like come around and get me. So he just kind of held on while it was going up. And then once it got up there, he let go and it was all good. And then he went to go find Bill. Well, Bill was like, he had like tried not to laugh before this point, because he was like, this is funny. But then he saw the push mower just kind of swinging back and forth up there, and he couldn't help but laugh. So I'm sure both of them laugh about it to this day, like now that it's over and stuff. But basically the lesson from this story is that paying attention to detail, even like at this stage in your lives, can be important. So details that your parents may tell you, things that pertain to you. That's a big word, so I probably shouldn't have used it, but things that you can relate to. Just make sure you listen to your parents, because small things that seem like they don't matter really do matter in the big picture. Thank you. And you can go to your seats now.
1, 2, 3, hello. Good morning, Family Church. Happy Sabbath. Well, now we decided to talk with you and to tell our testimonies of how we got to Milo and why we're students and why are we enjoying it and why we came to visit you guys. So now to start talking about my testimony, I want you guys to open your Bibles in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It's the story about the rich young man that went to Jesus. So it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Well, the thing is that, what do you guys think that he lacked? What he was lacking was faith in God. Like, you know, if Jesus would come to us now and he asked us to leave everything that we have and to go and follow him, it would be difficult. It would be a very good, big decision that we would make. And, well, the theme for Milo this year is fearless faith. So giving those leaps of faith towards God and following him has been something that, well, I've personally experienced. When I was 8, I was born in Denver, Colorado, and my parents decided to go to Mexico. They didn't tell me anything. I just awoke in the middle of the travel that we were doing in a truck, and I saw my mom sad, and, well, then I asked, where are we going? We're going to Mexico, son. I really didn't know what was like Mexico. I never been there, and so it was like, I was scared. I really didn't think about, you know, friends and all that, but going to a place that I really didn't know about was really hard for me. So when I arrived to Mexico, I lived there for 8 years, and I learned Spanish and all that, but it was hard for me because I didn't know Spanish to start. So years went passing, and then I went to a camp of Pathfinders. Well, yeah, something like that. It was a camp where like 4 states of Mexico gathered and had this wonderful camp. And then I met this person she told me that she was gonna go to Milo, and she told me it was an Adventist boarding school and that, well, it was in the United States. So I was excited, and I asked my parents, because they wanted me to relearn my English. I'm not that fluent. And so they wanted me to learn how to work and all that. That's what Milo provides in the campus. In Milo, they teach you how to work, and I mean, it's wonderful there. So it was a hard decision for me, and I felt that God was speaking towards me by my friend that I met in camp. I really didn't even know nothing about Milo until I looked in the internet and all that. And so I was very nervous, and I don't know, I didn't think that my mom was gonna allow me to come here. It was expensive, and well, it's hard to get that money in Mexico and all that. So the thing is that I had a lot of things settled up in Mexico, living 8 years with all your friends, with all those people that you know, with all your family. And so it was hard for me to decide to come here, to leave everything again, like when I was 8, and then come here and, like, you know, learn how to trust in God. So it was hard, but we should all, like, we should never lack of faith, and we should give that leap of faith towards God and follow his word. It's Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. You can sing along with us if you want. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Okay, so I want to tell you first that English is not my first language, so if I make any mistakes, I'm sorry. I'm trying my best. Okay, and I'm not going to be behind that because I'm too short. Okay, so I didn't know what the theme was going to be for today. But when they asked who wants to speak, I said, well, I can. And I immediately thought about my experience. Okay, how do I say it? I need help. Okay, so to me, it has always been hard, not the fact that, well, not knowing what's going to happen, that's hard for me. I am used to, I always want to have a plan for everything. I want to know what's going to happen. So not knowing what's going to happen is really, really hard for me. And my parents have always told me that I have to trust God. And I know that. But sometimes it's hard. And to me, it's really, really hard sometimes. And okay, so I was born in Colombia 16 years ago. And when I was 13, my dad was fired. And a couple of months later, my mom was fired. And there was like, for a year, none of them, they didn't have a job. So we didn't know what was gonna happen. And that was really hard. Before that, I had never actually worried about money. But after that, I didn't know what was gonna happen. So I started worrying about it. And well, thanks to God, like a year after they both were fired, we moved to Mexico because Montemorelos University, I don't know if any of you have heard of it, called them and told them, hey, we want you guys to work for us. So we moved to Mexico. I finished high school. And it's weird because I'm really young and many people tell me that, but yeah. My mom told me, I want you to go to the United States and learn English. I studied English for 8 years since like when I was five until I was like 13. But it's not the same when you learn English in a country where Spanish is, you know, their language, yeah, what they speak. But I didn't want to come because I was afraid. I've never been without my family. I even slept with my sister on the same bed because, yeah, it's my sister. So I started applying to different academies, and still money was an issue because it's expensive. And I didn't know what to do, but my mom was like, you have to pray, you have to read your Bible, you have to ask God to help you. And I knew I have to do that, and I always do that, but it's hard. It's hard because many times I've been like, God, please just like send me a letter or something and tell me, hey, you know what? You should go here, do this, yeah. But it's not gonna happen. And well, it's not gonna happen the way I want things to happen, but things are gonna happen. And I know that when we trust God, everything is the best it can be. So now I don't know what I'm gonna do next year because I have to go to college and that's hard. And I just know that God talks to us through the Bible, through the people that surround us. And I just want you to trust God. I know it's hard because every day I struggle with it. I just ask God, please help me. Please tell me what to do. Please show me. But even though he answers, it is not like the way we want to or as fast as we would like for it to be. But just be faithful and trust in God, because he has the answer even before we ask him. And I want to read you something. I'm sorry, I'm reading for my cell phone, but I don't have a Bible in English, so. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Yeah, that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in case you want to. Yeah, no. Okay, so, yeah, that's all I have to say today. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. My name is Sean. I am pretty new to this area. I came from Tennessee. And this is my first year at Milo. I'm a junior. So pretty long drive, especially if you do it in 2 days. So I have been raised with a mother and a father that lived like couple hundred miles away from each other, aka my parents are divorced, or they are now. So it's been a real struggle for me to try to trust in anything, and it's been really hard because my mother was kind of a dictator in a way. She didn't like me talking about my dad. She didn't want me going to see my dad. And she didn't want me going to church. So until about 2 years ago, I had no idea what Christianity really was. And then all of a sudden, my mom decided we were going to church one day. So we went to a non-denominational church on a Sunday. I had no idea what it was going to be, so I dressed up. Unfortunately, I didn't have a nice suit and tie, so I just wore a colored shirt and some nice jeans that I found in my drawers, and I went to church. There, I got my first thing I heard about God. It kind of started pushing me back from atheism, because I had no idea about a God. I just knew that we were here, and that was it. We had some nice technology. Now that I actually know about God, it's a lot different, and it really took some courage, because coming from a place where your parents don't worship God to a place where you worship God almost every single day of every minute in some way, shape, or form. It was a big change. My grandparents ended up taking me in because both of my parents couldn't really afford to keep me in their house. So I ended up moving in with my grandparents. And then they got a job here over a vacation. Not planned at all, but, you know, God's pretty funny. So we ended up getting a job here, and we moved. So, and then I'm here now, and I got baptized last weekend. So it's very hard to keep it a secret from my grandparents, but it worked. And I am slowly trying to become less fearful of God and more fearless of God. Since that is our theme this year, you know. Trying to go over my boundaries. I am not a person who likes to get up in front of people I don't know and speak. But I am, so that is all I have to say for me. I hope you have a rest of a nice Sabbath.
We just have a short skit for you that talks a bit about the character of God.
Okay. It looks like an interesting book. But I'm an atheist, so.
Actually, I'm an atheist too.
Seriously? You're an atheist?
Yeah, absolutely. Describe for me the God you don't believe in.
Well, you know, a supernatural being out there somewhere in the sky that rules over us with absolute control. Before we're even born, he decides if we're going to heaven or if we're going to burn in hell forever. You know, of course we don't have any say in the matter because he's God in the universe. He can do whatever he jolly well pleases. So, yeah, it's all utter nonsense. And we're supposed to love this tyrant? I don't think so. I mean, I can't. I don't even like him, hypothetically, of course. I think liking someone should come first before loving them. You know, it's more like a monster than a god.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's pretty diabolical, huh?
Yeah. I don't know how anyone could believe in such a god.
But hey, I want to ask you something else. I mean, hypothetically, just for the sake of discussion, what if God was the exact opposite of the one you described? What if that existed? Would you want him to?
What do you mean? Like what?
Well, what if a God could exist who was nothing but total goodness, perfectly just and perfectly merciful, all the time, to everyone? A God who would always do the right thing towards every person. A God who would give you everyone freedom to decide their own destiny and would never torture those who decided against him. A God who would literally rather die than commit an injustice to anyone. If a God like that could exist, would you want him to?
Well, I'd be a fool not to, but we can't just manufacture whatever God we want. That's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. But listen, I totally resonate with your atheism, because I find many of the popular views of God as repulsive as you do. I believe that God, the one and only true God, is beautiful in the extreme. And you've just said that you can't help but want that kind of God to exist. Well, I simply do believe the very thing you would like to believe.
So you're not an atheist?
I am. In the sense that I don't believe in the cruel, tyrannical God you described, but I do believe in God, although the God I believe in is nothing like the God you don't believe in. So, as far as I can see, you haven't rejected the God I believed in, because the fact is you've never seen or even considered him. I'm asking you to believe in a God of sheer beauty and perfect goodness. And I commend you for not believing in the false picture that you were raised to believe in.
Yeah, what if? What if?
Well, what if the God who does exist is nothing at all like the popular view of, you know, religion portrays him to be? What if God is love in the strongest and most beautiful sense imaginable? What if? Dear God, thank you so much for today, and as I said before, another Sabbath that we get to spend with you and get to know your character even more. And thank you that you love us so much that you would rather die than commit a wrong against us. Thank you so much for everything that you do for us, all the little, even the, like the little blessings that you give us. And I ask that you just be with us all and anything that may be on our hearts. Amen.